finished consciousness aggregate. So we'll begin today with the feeling aggregate, page 518. Paragraph 125. Now it was said above, whatever has the characteristic of being felt, so here also being felt should be corrected to feeling. Whatever has the characteristic of feeling should be understood or taken together as the feeling aggregate. So I told you last week that Nyanamoli misunderstood the word vidyita. He took it as a past participle. Passive past participle, but it is not passive past participle. It is a verbal noun here. So the word vidyita simply means feeling. So whenever you see the words being felt or felt, you change to feeling or feels. So one line down, and here too, what is said to have the characteristic of being felt. So characteristic of feeling is feeling itself, according as it is said. It feels, friend. That is why it is called feeling. Not it is felt. It feels. So we have to take the active voice here. It feels. That is why it is called feeling. And in the next paragraph also, but though it is single full according to its individual essence as the characteristic of feeling, it is nevertheless threefold as to kind and so on. And they are profitable, unprofitable, and indeterminate. So this is the division we found in the first book of Abhidhamma. So the commentator, the Venerable Buddha Gosa, is following that division. So since consciousness is divided into profitable, unprofitable, and indeterminate, here also feeling is divided. So it should be understood that when associated with the profitable consciousness, described in the way beginning, that of sense fear is eightfold being classified according to joy, equanimity, knowledge, and prompting, is profitable. So that when associated with profitable consciousness is profitable. So, and then we find the footnote. This should be regarded as a secondary characteristic of profitable feeling. Here also there is a misunderstanding of the word upalakkhana. Now, lakkhana means characteristic and upa can mean secondary or subordinate or something. But here, upalakkhana means just something like the stating of the fact. This statement that when associated with the profitable consciousness, it is called profitable, means just to state the fact, not to give the reason for its being profitable. So it is described in the sub-commentary by the word upalakkhana. Sometimes the upalakkhana means something like saying that you say only one thing, but actually other things are also meant. Something like, say, the president visited San Francisco, then president does not come here alone. He came with other people too, but we just say the president visited the city, something like that. So that is called upalakkhana. And it is not a secondary characteristic. This is a kind of a figure of speech. They're often used by especially by commentators. So here, it is not a reason, not a explanation of the feelings being profitable, but just stating the fact. because as is explained in the footnote, it being profitable or unprofitable is determined by right reflection or wrong reflection. And that associated with unprofitable consciousness is unprofitable. That associated with indeterminate consciousness is indeterminate. So the feeling always accompanies consciousness. So every type of consciousness is accompanied by feeling. Since consciousness is divided into three, profitable, unprofitable, and indeterminate, feeling is also divided accordingly. And it is fivefold according to the analysis of its individual essence into bodily pleasure, bodily pain, mental joy, mental grief, and equanimity. So here there are five kinds of feelings. The first is dukkha, sukha, bodily pleasure, and bodily pain is dukkha. Mental joy is somanasa. And mental grief, domanasa. And equanimity, upekkha. So there are five kinds of feelings. Herein, pleasure is associated with profitable resultant body consciousness and pain with unprofitable resultant body consciousness, and so on. If you have the chart for consciousness, the dots or the one that I gave last week, and we can you can look at that and read it. Now, the pleasure is associated with profitable result and body consciousness. Oh, the number is here given, 38, right? But in our chart, the number is different. But you can just look it up in the notes handed out last week. It will take much time if we check every statement with these charts at this class. So you have to do it yourself. Joy is associated with 62 kinds of consciousness. That means somanasa, 62. In our chart, red dots. Namely, as to sense, we are with four kinds of profitable, with four resultant, with root cause, and with one resultant, without root cause, with four functional, with root cause, with one functional, without root cause, and with four unprofitable. And as to fine material sphere, it's with four kinds of profitable, resultant, and four functional, leaving out that of the fifth jhana in each case. Fifth jhana is accompanied by upekkha, equanimity or indifferent feeling. So upekkha should be left out. I mean, the fifth jhana should be left out from these 62. But there is no supramundane without jhana. And consequently, the eight kinds of supramundane and multiplied by the five jhana makes 40. So this is where 40 types of supramundane consciousness are mentioned. In the description of the consciousness aggregate, the commentator did not say that there are 40 types of supramundane consciousness. He only said that there are eight, the four path consciousness and four fruit consciousness. But here he mentioned this 40 types of supramundane consciousness. That is, there are eight supramundane consciousness, and each one is, say, multiplied by five jhanas. So 8 multiplied by 5 becomes 40. And among these 40 also, first, second, third, fourth jhana consciousness are accompanied by joy, and the fifth accompanied by equanimity or indifferent feeling. So grief is associated with two kinds of unprofitable. They are dosa mula. They are those accompanied by dosa among the akusala, unwholesome mental, unwholesome consciousness. Equanimity is associated with the remaining 55 kinds of consciousness, that is, blue dots. If you have the chart with color, then it's easy. So, red dots represent somanasa, blue dots, upekha, and the crosses, what? Red cross, bodily pleasure, blue cross, green cross, bodily pain, and green dots, mental grief. Now we come to the characteristic, etc., of these five kinds of feeling. So, paragraph 128. Pleasure has the characteristic of experiencing a desirable, tangible datum, that is, something that can be touched. Its function is to intensify associated states. It is manifested as bodily enjoyment. Its proximate cause is the body faculty. Body faculty simply means body sensitivity. When we study the corporeality aggregate, I think you remember that there are five kinds of sensitivities: eye sensitivity, ear, nose, tongue, and body sensitivity. So body sensitivity is here called body faculty, the same thing. And pain has the characteristic of experiencing an undesirable tangible datum. That is, when you have pain in the body, say when you hit yourself with something, or when someone hits you, then there is pain in the body. Pain has a characteristic of experiencing an undesirable tangible datum. Its function is to wither associated states. So when there is pain, your mind and your mental states become withered. They are not happy. It is manifested as bodily affliction. So when you look at it through meditation, then you see that it is bodily affliction. Its proximate cause is, again, just the bodily the body sensitivity. Joy has the characteristic of experiencing a desirable object, and this is somanasa. It is in the mind, so mental joy. Its function is to exploit in one way or another the desirable aspect. Now, I want to know whether the word exploit has a bad meaning. To exploit. Or it has also good meaning?
No. In modern times, it mostly has bad meaning. It means that someone
takes advantage of
using somebody unfairly.
I see.
But it also can be used in a good meaning. You know, I mean, just kind
to
of
make
a,
good use of, or something like that.
Yeah, right.
Make good use of.
Yeah, I want to exploit the pen.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it is used in a good sense, yeah. Not a bad sense, yeah. So it is to exploit in one way or another the desirable aspect. That means that fully enjoy. It is manifested as mental enjoyment, and its proximate cause is tranquility. So joy comes from tranquility. Grief has a characteristic of experiencing an undesirable object. Its function is to exploit in one way or another the undesirable aspect, undesirable object. It also, we cannot use enjoy here, right? Experience thoroughly. It is manifested as mental affliction. Its proximate cause is invariably the heart basis, because domanasa, these two types of consciousness arise only in beings of sensual sphere. And so it's always depend on heart base. Equanimity, here equanimity means just neutral feeling or indifferent feeling. Equanimity has the characteristic of feeling neutrally, or something like that, not being felt as neutral, feeling neutrally. Not feeling pleasure, not feeling displeasure, but feeling the middle feeling. Its function is not to intensify. all with the associated states. It is manifested as peacefulness. Its proximate cause is consciousness without heaviness. Consciousness without heaviness. Its proximate cause. Right. Because if it is with heaviness, there can be no indifferent feeling. So its proximate cause is consciousness, which is not accompanied by somanasa. So that means upekkha. Now, in the footnote, it is to explain why the ten types of consciousness, that is, two types of seeing consciousness, and so on, have only indifferent feeling accompanying them, and the others being followed, accompanied by pleasure and displeasure. And I think this is a good explanation when you talk about the types of consciousness among the ahituka, rootless consciousness. Now, just as when a man places a piece of cotton wool on an anvil and strikes it with an iron hammer, and his hammer goes right through the cotton and hits the anvil, the violence of the blow is great. So too, because of the violence of the impact's blow is great, body consciousness is accompanied by pleasure when the object is desirable or desirable neutral one, and by pain when the object is undesirable or undesirable neutral one. Now, here there's an anvil, right? And then cottonwood and hammer. So three things here. Anvil, cotton, and hammer. Now, when someone hits you, there is what you call great elements. What shall I say? There is bodily sensitivity, right? Body sensitivity and tangible data. Or something like those that can be touched. So, those that can be touched, what are they? Three great elements, right? So, the three great elements are what we call touch. So when these hit against the body sensitivity, which is like a wool here, cotton here, because of the impact, it strikes the great element on which the body sensitivity depends. Now, there are great elements, and on these great elements, body sensitivity depends. So the great elements, body sensitivity, and then tangible datum, which is a combination of the three great elements, strike against bodily sensitivity. When it strikes bodily sensitivity, it goes through bodily sensitivity and reach the great elements beneath it. So it is like great elements hitting great elements. And so it is like a hammer hitting the anvil. So its impact is strong. And so when the object is pleasurable or pleasurable, neutral, then there is sukha. And when the object is displeasurable or displeasurable, neutral, there is dukkha. So there can be no upekkha here with regard to bodily pain and bodily pleasure. No upekkha. But with regard to the seeing consciousness and so on, there is only upekkha. If you remember, the seeing consciousness and so on are accompanied by indifferent feeling and not by pleasurable or displeasurable feeling. That is at the very moment of seeing, hearing and so on. Because a visible object is a dependent rupa, right? A visible object is not one of the great elements. So when a visible object strikes against eye sensitivity, which is again the depending one, so it is like a ball of cotton striking another ball of cotton. So when they strike, the impact is not so great, and so it does not go through the cotton ball to the anvil. So soft object striking the soft sensitivity. So the impact is not so great, not so powerful, and so whether the object is desirable or undesirable, the feeling is always indifferent feeling. So the explanation is given by the sub-commentary here. Now the next aggregate is perception aggregate. So there is nothing difficult in this perception aggregate. So we have talked about perception. Whatever has the characteristic of perceiving should be understood all taken together as the perception aggregate and so on. And it is also divided into profitable, unprofitable, indeterminate, because perception accompanies all types of consciousness. So wherever there is a type of consciousness, there is perception. So it is divided into three. And its characteristics, etc., are given. Its characteristic is what? Perceiving. And its function is to make a sign as a condition for perceiving again that this is the same, as carpenters, etc., do in the case of timber and so on. It is manifested as the action of interpreting by means of the sign as apprehended. That means it may be apprehended rightly or wrongly. So if taken apprehended wrongly, then the interpretation will depend upon that wrong apprehension, and so the conclusion will be wrong, like the blind man seeing the elephant. And its proximate cause is an objective field in whatever way that appears, like the perception that arises in fawns that see scarecrows as man. So these animals thought they were seeing man, while in fact they are seeing scarecrows. And then we come to the formation aggregates. So formation aggregates are the most numerous, important also, and it has many, many divisions. the Pali word here is sankhara. So a formation aggregate or sankhara khanda. And sankhara here means just that which makes something like that. So its characteristic is forming, that is a characteristic of agglomerating. It's just forming, putting together. And what is that? It is formations themselves, according as it is said, they form the formed, because that is why they are called formations. they have the characteristic of forming, and their function is to accumulate. And they are manifested as intervening. Here, I think it may be better to say activeness instead of intervening. The Pali word, in the footnote you'll see the Pali word vipara. And vipara means, it is explained by PM, that means a sub-commentary, as vyapara. Vyapara means activeness, being active. So, the intervening really means being active. So they are manifested as those that are active. The approximate cause is the remaining three immaterial aggregates, because they arise with other three material aggregates, that is consciousness aggregate, feeling aggregate, and perception aggregate. Now, please bear in mind that consciousness is always accompanied by mental factors, right? So these four kinds of aggregates arise always together. Consciousness aggregate, and then feeling aggregate, perception aggregate, and some of the formation aggregates. So when one is taken as the principal thing, then the others become the approximate cause. Cause here means condition. And they are profitable, unprofitable, and indeterminate, and so on. And then the 52 chetasikas are mentioned here, following the order given in the first book of Abhidhamma, the Dhammasangani. In the Dhammasangani, first the consciousness is mentioned, and then Buddha said, with this consciousness, such mental factors arise. The contact arises, volition arises, and so on. So following that, the description is given in this book. So first we find the kusala here, right? Herein, firstly, those associated with the first sense-via profitable consciousness, that means the first kamavajra kusala, amount to 36, that is to say, the constant ones, which are the 27 given in the text as such, and the four or whatever states, and also the five inconstant ones. Now, we have to understand these three constant ones, then or whatever states, and then inconstant ones. Constant one means those that always accompany the consciousness assigned to them. That means, let us say, the most obvious is the first one, contact. When we say contact accompanies this type of consciousness, it always accompanies that type of consciousness, invariably. So such mental states are called constant. Inconstant means they may or may not associate or arise together with a type of consciousness. For example, let's say compassion. Say compassion accompanies some types of consciousness, right? But only when you practice compassion will the compassion arise in your mind. Not at other times. When you arouse compassion, then it will arise in your mind. But if you do not arouse it, it will not arise. So they are called inconstant. That means, although they are said to accompany a certain type of consciousness, they do not accompany that type of consciousness every time that type of consciousness arises. only at some times. Now, envy, Asa, envy is said to be inconstant. So only when you envy other people's success is there enviness in you. Otherwise, it will not accompany your that type of consciousness. So they are called inconstant. You remember the words used in the manual?
Unfixed.
Yeah, fixed adjuncts and unfixed adjuncts. So in the manual you'll find those words, fixed adjuncts and unfixed adjuncts. So here the words used are constant and inconstant. They mean the same thing. Now, the other one, or whatever states, that is important. When Buddha described the mental state accompanying a certain type of consciousness, Buddha did not give all the mental states. He gave the most of the mental states one by one by name. And then, let us say the first one is accompanied by 36 mental states. Then he would mention, say, 32 mental states, one by one, by name. And then he would say, there are some others also that accompany that mental state. All those are called kusala. All those are called akusala, and so on. So the words used in the Dhammasangani are yivapana tasming samyi anyibi. You find the sentence down in the footnote. Yivapana tasming samyi anyibi ati paticca samuppanna arupino dhamma imi dhamma kusala, and so on. So some mental states are not mentioned by name, but they are mentioned like with the words yivapana. So they are called yivapanaka in Pali. And it is here translated as or whatever states. In fact, I don't like the word or here. Because although there is V-A-Wa in the Pali, it does not mean or here. It is also, it means also here. Because, as I said, say there are 36 mental states accompanying the first type of Kama Vajra consciousness. So after describing, let us say, 32 in detail in by name, the Buddha said, there are others also. So here, the Pali word va does not mean all, but also other states. They will be given by name in the list. So 27 given in the text as such. So as such means by name, and the four or whatever states, and also the five inconstant ones. And you if you look at the list, they are well divided. So you go through all the lists, right? The four or whatever states are these: zeal, desire, resolution, attention, and specific neutrality. And then the five inconstant ones are compassion, gladness, abstinence from bodily misconduct, abstinence from verbal misconduct, abstinence from wrong livelihood. So these five are called inconstant, and the four above are called or whatever states. And the others are constant ones. And then the other described one by one, say characteristic, function, mode of manifestation, and proximate cause, each one of them. Now the first one is passa, contact, right? Paragraph 134. It is a contact which is born of the convergence of three, that is, visible object, the eye, and seeing consciousness. when these three arise, contact also arises. So it is described in the books that because of the convergence of these three, contact arises. So contact is seen as something, something which comes out of the convergence of these three, coming together of these three. But its characteristic is here touching. Touching means mentally touching. Its function is the act of impingement. It is manifested as concurrence. Its proximate cause is an objective field that has come into focus. Although this is an immaterial state, yet it occurs with respect to an object as the act of touching. Now, it is not two here. We can leave out two altogether, or we can substitute it with only. That means it is immaterial. So it really does not touch anything. It really does not come into contact with anything. But when it arises as the act of touching. That is why it is called pasa in Pali, touching. And in the footnote too, as the act of touching only, not true. By this he shows that this is its individual essence, even though it is immaterial. And the examples given here are very good. The examples of contact or pasa here. We experience pasa more clearly when we come across these instances. That watering of the mouth in one who sees another tasting vinegar or ripe mango. So when something is eating something sour, then we the water is produced in our mouth. Or the bodily shuddering in the sympathetic person who sees another being hurt. The trembling of the knees in a timid man standing on the ground when he sees a man precariously balanced on a high tree branch. So if you watch circuses, you feel, you get that feeling. Something on the high, on the, what do you call?
High wire.
High wire, yeah. The loss of power of legs in one who sees something terrifying, such as a pisaja or such as a goblin. So when you're afraid, then you cannot run. So your feet are like, what do you call, frozen or something. So that happened to dogs when they have a smell of leopards. So when they see sad leopards, they cannot run away because they're too afraid. And so this is the manifestation of pasa, contact. And then, and as to its function, although it is not adherent on any one side, as of a plank or something, as eye come visible object and ear come sound are, yet it is what makes consciousness the object impinge. I don't understand this, and it is not quite what the original means. So, what it means here is, although it is not adherent on any one side, it impinges on consciousness and object, as does visible object on the eye and sound on the ear. Now, if you remember, the visible object, I mean, the eye and the ear are those which takes objects before they reach them. Something like that. So like them, pasa also, it is not adherent to, or it is not stuck to anything, any object at all. But it impinges on the consciousness and object. Like visible object on the eye and sound on the ear. It is said to be manifested as concurrence because it has been described as its own action. Here also he misunderstood one word. So, because it has been described by way of its cause, namely the concurrence of the three, So, you know, sometimes there is a difference between a short vowel and a long vowel, and then you get a different meaning. You just mispronounced, or you just wrote, or you just read, say, a long vowel for a short vowel, or short vowel for a long vowel, and you have a different meaning. So here, the Pali word used is karana. And karana means a cause. But when you read it as karana instead of karana, then karana means doing. So here he translated as its own action. So karana means doing or action. But it is not the correct reading. The correct reading is karana. Now here, the concurrence of the three. Concurrence of the three is actually the cause of contact to arise. Not concurrent itself is contact. So contact arises through concurrence of these three, that is the eye, the visible object, and eye consciousness. So here it is said to be manifested as concurrence. Actually, concurrence, it comes about of the concurrence of these three. So when these three come together, there is it arises also. And it is said to have as its proximate cause an objective field that has come into focus, because it arises, here again, automatically through the appropriate conscious reaction and with the faculty when the objective field is presented. Oh. Here also what is meant is, say, it has its proximate cause an objective field that has come into focus, because it arises without obstruction on the object prepared by appropriate adverting and faculty. So here, appropriate reaction really means appropriate adverting, turning towards the object. And faculty here means the eye faculty. So it arises without obstruction on the object prepared by it. It is as though the object is as though prepared by the adverting and the eye faculty. Now, when you see something, there is a seeing thought process, right? So before seeing consciousness, what is there? Five sense door adverting. So the seeing consciousness takes the object which is prepared by, or which is made ready by the five sense door adverting. That means the five sense door adverting turns the mind to the object. So it is said to prepare the object for the next moment of consciousness to take. So prepared by appropriate adverting and faculty. And then I think I will have to get rid of the buts today. So it should be regarded as like a hideless cow. We do not need a but here, because it is the habitat of feeling. So that is described in Sanyutta Nikaya. So the Buddha said the pasa should be viewed as a hideless cow, because when the hide of the cow is removed, then It is a place for flies, mosquitoes, or insects to come. So in the same way, when there is pasa, there is vedana, I mean, there is feeling. So it is the place for vedana or feeling. So that is why it is regarded as like a headless cow. So if you want to read the sutta, it is Kindred Sayings, Volume 2, page 69. The next is Chetana, devolution. Here also, I think we get rid of the but. 1, 2, 3, 4, on the fifth line. It is evident when it occurs in the marshalling of associated states in connection with urgent work, remembering, and so on. And then applied thought, sustained thought, and happiness. They have already been said in the commentary on the first jhana. So they are explained in chapter 4. And then we come to virya, energy. Its characteristic is marshalling or driving. Its function is to consolidate or to support conascent states. It is manifested as non-collapse. Because of the words "be stirred," he strives wisely. Its proximate cause is a sense of urgency.